We turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, and the beginning of verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm getting old, and I can't do things as fast as I used to do them. And there is, of course, as we all know, a physical weariness. Children feel it and might get a bit bad-tempered before bedtime. Older people fear it when they've had a particularly trying day. I'm talking about physically. When they've had to stand all the 20 miles on the train or something like that. And even young people feel it. The local school here says that they find it difficult to work after dinner. That's when they're young. So they only have a short afternoon. Now, I find it difficult to work after dinner, but I haven't always been like that. There is, of course, then a physical weariness. There is something to be dreaded much more than physical weariness, and that is spiritual weariness. I won't talk particularly about mental weariness now. That's another subject in its own. But spiritual wickedness, sorry, spiritual weariness is something to be greatly feared. Once you believed that when you read the Bible, the Lord was by your side and he was tutoring you, and every word you read from a psalm or from a gospel or from an epistle was the Lord himself talking to you. And it was lovely and it was intimate and it was encouraging and it was reviving. Now you hobble along. If you don't forget, you just turn to a chapter here and there in the Bible. And you don't always take it in. And it doesn't any longer be a priority in your life. It's no longer a time of rejoicing with the Saviour whom you also loved, always loved. And that is a sign of spiritual weariness. Not the only sign. There is a sign of spiritual weariness in reluctance to pray. Now again, when I was a child, I was one of these people who, if an essay was set or something like that, would spend 30 minutes just wondering what I was going to say. Even when I was a bit older and read exam papers, I could read them all the way through and not initially have a clue where I was going to begin. Can you believe it? When you get older, it all comes back at you. I now sit and think for 20 minutes before I do the thing that I had once jumped up and done straight away. But if in prayer it's beginning to show symptoms like that, then there is a spiritual weariness which is coming over us. And of course, it is the spiritual that to a large degree commands the physical. Now, it is of course possible to be physically weary and not spiritually weary at all. But it does follow that if you are spiritually weary, everything else will become hard. Everything else will become difficult. Nothing will seem to go right. And life becomes a burden. If we're spiritually alert, the pains of our life, we will, like Paul and Silas in prison, take joyfully. If we are spiritually alive, we will be glad to deal with challenges. They will be exciting. If we are spiritually alive, our minds will record recall scriptures frequently that will help us in our time of trouble. So really this afternoon, while it can be applied to physical weariness, and the Lord certainly does strengthen the physically weary, we're thinking particularly of spiritual weariness and being strengthened. Now the text is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it's a wonderful picture. It's a picture of a waiter. Now there are essentially two things that a waiter upon you in a restaurant or wherever does. First of all, he finds out what you desire to eat. And when he knows, and when it's cooked, he brings the food to your place and serves you and wishes you bon appetit or whatever he will say. It is a good picture because you notice one thing straight away. He can't bring your dinner. He can bring the most super dinner. But if he does so and it's not what you asked for, you're not going to be very happy. And in the Lord's world, we call that presumption. We run before the Lord. We do what we think he'd like, what we think is good, but we haven't waited to find out what he actually expects of us. So this is a wonderfully helpful picture of waiting upon the Lord. If we wait upon the Lord, we shall renew our strength. Now, a waiter, in the best sense of the word, is a servant. And the service which he renders is to do our bidding. Now, there are many ways in which we may offer service to the Lord. We call what we're doing now a service. It is a service of worship. But it is something that the Lord desires, something that is welcome, something which the Bible commands, and in serving him in this way, we are fulfilling his will. And it renews our strength, or rather, he renews our strength, particularly our spiritual strength, as we do these things. Probably you have long since found it a most wonderful thing at the end of a service to say to the Lord, to say to yourself, what has been the strengthening that I've had from this service in accordance with the Lord's purpose? In what way has my soul been strengthened? Was it because I was able to sing? Was it because I was able to meditate upon the words that previous authors, previous believers have brought to me? Was it because I profited from the word of God when I read it or heard it read? Was it because I profited from it in the preaching? What was it that I profited? Did the Lord visit my soul when I poured out my complaint to him, so that afterwards we may give him all the praise and all the glory, because we know we have been strengthened. And the purpose of being strengthened is so that we may continue on our way, and that we may do so with all the joy and peace in believing. Now, the second part of the chapter of Isaiah, chapter 40, is about, or begins with, the fact of idolatry. And of course, he takes the mickey out of idolatry. The workman melteth metal, and he shapes a graven image. If you can't afford that, you could get a bit of wood, good quality wood, with one half burning it in the fire, another part of Isaiah says, but you can make a god with the other part. And Isaiah expostulates with people, has nobody told you? Has nobody taught you that there is just one God, the creator of the ends of the earth? One God who is never weary, which is the issue now. One God who sustains everything that there is to sustain. Having brought it into being, he sustains it, and he provides for all the things that need to be provided for man and beast. He is the one. He controls the earth. The word really is globe, because he sits upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So, in terms of our size, in terms of our dependency upon God, we are not a great deal more than grasshoppers. The universe is vast. The Lord is in control of it all. But the Lord actually has made us to be an important part, believers, the supreme part of his plan, though we are small as grasshoppers. And then it is that the Lord says, lift up your eyes. Look at the one, look at the creation. Look at all the things, the stars, which the Father has named. And he sustains them because his power is great. Now, when you look at the universe, when you see the moon and the stars, the work of his fingers, and you ask now, what is man that the Lord is mindful of him? You are to think that the Lord is great and strong in order that you may draw that strength from him. Of course, the Lord's strength is spiritual strength. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in spirit. And it is that you are going to draw spiritual strength from the very being who has created all these things and sustains them. It is a reminder to us that there is a source, a supply of inner strength to our soul that maybe we are not tapping, and that maybe we're running dry, maybe we're running down, maybe we've not got very far at all. So we're told, have you not heard? Have you not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Some of you who are parents, or in any case, any of you, may remember going out on a longish walk or even a hike with your own parents or as parents, and the child who's looked forward to the walk has to be carried the last mile. And of course you all move along better when you're carried. The child can cope with being carried, I don't know about that, but the child can cope with being carried. And in our spiritual lives, we move along better when the Lord carries us, even to our heads. We move along much better when the Lord is lifting us up, when the Lord is invisibly empowering us, when the Lord is quickening our minds to deal with issues, quickening our affections to deal with the failure of other people's emotions. But whatever it is the Father, and through him the Son and the Holy Ghost, whose power we may and should draw on. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no faith, have no might, he increaseth strength. I hate to hear children of the age of 12, 13, 14 say they are bored. It is a frequent exclamation from teenagers. And I'll tell you why I hate to hear it. This is a wonderful universe. This is no end. It is a vast life. And for a youngster to be bored with it shows something. It shows that inwardly, he is weary. Inwardly, the things that should make him strong and give him impetus and a desire to see the world, a desire to learn, that's gone, or it's going. And to see in a young person the lack of spiritual vigour is a terrible thing. Now, of course, no unsaved young person has spiritual vigour. And that is why, of course, on a massive scale, we see young people failing. We see young people committing suicide. We see young people giving up. We see young people sleeping rough on the street. All these things happen, and there is a weariness of spirit. And our message to them is the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour. And the imparting of eternal salvation and the lifting of the load of sins in their being forgiven sets us free again. We're released. We have spiritual energy. It is a terrible thing. And it's mentioned here, even the youths shall faint and be weary. What a shocking thing it is that those who should have strength, that those who should have interest in everything, those who should have power in everything, don't have. And they don't have because they have not believed the preaching or heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It applies, of course, also to older people. I noticed that as older people draw near to death, they become a little insecure. They learn from childhood, of course, not to betray their emotions, not to betray their feelings. And it's very difficult for a pastor to talk to somebody about dying because they'll say, well, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of... But, of course, this is all bluster. And deep within, where there is only a very minimum spiritual life, if any at all, there will be this disorientation of the inward life. There will be this collapsing of the soul because it's the inner strength, the inner spirit from the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Father that imparts strength to the spiritually weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It can sometimes get to that desperate state that even before their 20s, through drugs or through the desire to take drugs because of the spiritual emptiness of their life. But they fall utterly. Maybe they don't, but they utterly fall. Their life is over, it's wrecked before it begins. Now, you cannot really tell a child, you try it. If a child aged 14 has begun to smoke and you say, you know, when you've got a family and you're 50, you'll really regret it. You'll want to live long. It means nothing to a 14-year-old at all. But what does mean something to a 14-year-old is to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is loved by God, that he is a sinner. He needs to confess of those sins, put them away, and that the Lord will forgive them. And that the Lord has shed his blood, and the Lord died for his friends, and they, if they do these things, are his friends. These are the things that release him, and these are the things that prevent from falling. They that wait upon the Lord of any age shall renew their strength. And it ends with this wonderful, wonderful description. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I've always enjoyed taking these in two ways. Successive ways. At a certain time of life, you might mount up with wings. At a certain time of life, you may run and not be weary. And at a certain time of life, you might walk and not faint. But of course, they could be contemporaneous. That is to say, a young person might, dealing with certain circumstances, mount up, dealing with another set of circumstances, run without being weary, and dealing with another set of circumstances, walk and not faint. But just to encourage you at this time to wait upon the Lord and renew your strength, I'm going to take these as successive. Now, the mounting up with wings as eagles. What a perspective an eagle has. What eagle eyes. He can see for miles around what's going on. One of the things which mounting up with eagles means is that you get a proper perspective. You know how one of the things that drags you down is not really to get a perspective on an issue. You can't see the wood for the trees, you're in the middle of it, you can't see the way out. But one of the things that is so wonderful about waiting on the Lord is that you may mount up with wings, get the right perspective on the whole of life, get the right perspective on where you are in life, get the right perspective on where you are aiming for or going in life. Then, of course, there is the sheer joy of mounting up on wings. You watch the birds enjoying the thermals. And there is a joy to leave. There is when you've waited upon the Lord and in the singing, an inner strength, an inner interest, an inner purpose, which may well be described as mounting up with wings as eagles. It's also a wonderful expression because it doesn't say you mount up with wings as goldfinches. Now, goldfinches fly, and they fly rather well, but they're not geared to be at the top of the tree. This description is how we might rise above all things. That as a man, as a woman, as a boy or a girl, made in the image of God, made it to be in charge of the creation of God, that we may mount up above it all, that we may overcome it all, that we may guide in it all. And then they shall run and not be weary. I never was very good at running. My better distances were the 800 or a mile, because I never could sprint. I could never just give that absolute everything that you need to do in a sudden sprint. I was always one of those who by nature like to reserve a bit of energy. Reserve a bit of energy for later or for later. So I liked long distance cycle rides, not sprinting. If I had to run at school, I didn't like running at all. I preferred the longer distances than actually going mad for 50 yards or 100 metres, well, there were yards in my days. But to run and not to be weary is to pick up the pace. It is to be among the leaders. It is to be giving initiatives. It is to be leading the pack. So those who wait upon the Lord have it within their hearts to run on ahead, give leadership in the spiritual things, so they understand about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may teach him to others. They may teach him to the Sunday school class. They may teach him to the young people. And they may teach the Bible to others. And there are all sorts of ways in which you could think that the one who has been spiritually strengthened in the midstream of life can still continue very fast, continue to run. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, compared with mounting up with wings as eagles, walking isn't much good. Compared with running, walking doesn't seem to be any great achievement. Because when you get to my age, walking is an achievement. Walking is something that you don't do for pleasure, just to make sure your legs don't give up. But to be walking spiritually, after the waiting upon the Lord, and as you got older in the spiritual life, is an achievement in itself. The Lord helped you when you were young and when you were in those middle years of life, and not one of the experiences of life has fazed you. Not one of those experiences of life has made you say, I don't think it's true. I don't think it's genuine. I'm going to give up. There is an expression to do with the things to do with middle age. And that people may do silly things, particularly men, in middle age. They go off the rails. They suddenly want to become young again and do childish things or adolescent things. There's all sorts of ways in which this shows itself. But when we are spiritually renewed by the Lord, we don't go through that stage. We just simply look to the Lord to help us in all these things, and we increase momentum, we increase speed. And then when we get older, we know that these things are true. We know that these things work. We are facing death without fear. For we know if all the things we have experienced work, then certainly the one thing that nobody experiences till the time will also work, that the Lord will take it. So we walk, but we do not faint. Those who are strengthened by the Lord are no longer weary, and they no longer faint. He will strengthen us in physical weariness. And there's no weariness that comes upon us like pain or like sheer stress of overwork. And that is very wearying. But the answer is still spiritual. And the answer is the more to believe that the Lord, who sustains the physical universe, though he is spirit, will by his spirit strengthen you physically for the physical things you must endure or overcome, and strengthen you in your spirit for the spiritual life that you desire to live. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is a full-time occupation. There are many young girls start as waitresses, and I suppose there are young men who start behind the bar or who start as waiting. But here the job isn't seen like that. Those who wait on the Lord are seen to have a lifetime's employment, seen to have a lifetime's work, seen that it is the supreme act of life to serve the Lord our Creator, with our minds, with our bodies, but with our spirits, essentially. We are not to grow weary in well-doing. We are not to grow tired in our faith. I have often thought of the saying of the Lord Jesus that he shall not be discouraged, is the Old Testament prophecy of him, till he has set judgment in the earth. He shall not be discouraged. David Allen once heard me preach, and he says that did so much for him, and he's often quoted it since, that he heard me say that seeing that the Lord is not discouraged, how can we be discouraged? There's no way we can give up before the end, because the Lord Jesus didn't give up before the end of his life, and he's still working now. How can we be discouraged if we're waiting upon the Lord? So it is an antidote for discouragement, an antidote for failure. It is the way in which life is created to be approached. It begins with trusting in the Saviour, with believing in the Saviour, with sins forgiven, with the blood shed, with atonement made for our sin, with his merits being counted to us and our demerits to him. But it goes on, that he may be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that we may not fear whatever Satan throws at us, because the nearness of our Saviour will strengthen and help. Trust him to carry you. Trust him to strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. As our days, so shall our strength be. But it isn't automatic. But it is strong if we are spiritually strong and have asked the Lord to give us that strength. Won't you take it home to yourself? Won't you make this a text for your life? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen.